Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Friday, March 3rd edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, Kentucky goes for the outright SEC championship on Saturday against Texas A&M. Cincinnati's Mick Cronin makes some scary allegations about the NCAA, but he's right. Who's the favorite in college basketball for this year's tournament? There isn't a favorite. Art Briles is still at it. The NFL Combine is underway, and it's good news and bad news depending on how you feel about your favorite player. More drama with the Lakers. Bryce Harper loses more fans in Washington. The return of a classic 70s TV show. And of course, on a Friday this time of year, we pick games against the spread in college basketball. So let's go.
You are listening live.
Kentucky and Texas A&M Saturday. Down in Texas, these two teams played on January 3rd. That's 2 months ago now, if you can believe that. Kentucky won that game 100-58. And it's actually worse than that. With a minute to go, it was 100-53. That game made Texas A&M 0-2 in the SEC, and most people before the year started had Texas A&M finishing second or third in the conference, right there with Florida. South Carolina took over Texas A&M's role as the third best team in the conference this year, but Texas A&M now sitting at 16-13, 8-9 in the SEC. Even if they win this game tomorrow, they're not in the tournament unless they win the SEC championship game next Sunday. A&M 5-3 at home in the SEC. And when these two teams played 2 months ago, Malik Monk was easily the MVP of that game with 26 points. The best player on the floor that day, though, shockingly, Isaiah Briscoe. He had 13 points, but he had 3 of 3 three-pointers. Wow, those were the days when he was actually hitting three-pointers. Those days are long gone. He also had 7 assists and 0 turnovers in that game. But Texas A&M, they have two players that are potentially first-round draft picks in the NBA draft. It makes you wonder how any team can have two potential first-round draft picks and can't even finish 500 in the SEC. They're a modern-day LSU with Johnny Jones as coach, apparently. But Robert Williams, who averages 11.7 points a game and 7.9 rebounds a game, is apparently a lottery pick, according to most, even though he didn't even start the last time these two teams played. He and Tyler Davis are 3rd and 4th, respectively, in the SEC in player efficiency. And in comparison, Malik Monk is 6th, Bam Adebayo is 7th. But for Texas A&M, it's a far cry from last year when they went 28-9 and they were a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. But if you look at their resume this year, who has this team beaten? The best team out of conference that A&M beat was Virginia Tech. The second best team was Denver. Not the Denver Nuggets, just straight up University of Denver. And if you can name one player in the history of that school, you win today's prize. A bucket of pride, because I can't name one. It's like this team waited all year long to start playing well, and it never happened. And yes, they've won 3 of their last 4, but it just seems like they've beaten every bad team they've played, and they've lost to every good team they've played. Their conference home losses this year are to Tennessee, Arkansas, and Vanderbilt. And those are the best 3 teams that they played at home. But when your best win on the season is a win against Virginia Tech, and your second best win on the season is a home win by 1 point against Georgia, that doesn't give me a whole lot of faith in saying that you can keep it close against Kentucky. Even against the number out in Vegas this year, Texas A&M 11 up and 15 down. The line in this game is 7.5. Kentucky is favored. Do I think Texas A&M could cover this game? Absolutely, I think they could. And in fact, if you pointed a water gun to my ear hole, I probably would take A&M to cover this spread. But I'm not going to put any jelly beans on this one, I can promise you. It's always tough to go against a team with nothing to lose. And A&M, believe me, they have nothing to lose. We'll call it 76-71, Kentucky wins, but A&M gets the money. However, if you want to put your hard-earned jelly beans on this game, you're on your own, because we're not going to do it. but good luck to you.
And you know, if they had an Olympics for stupidity, Dutch would win the gold medal.
The John Calipari 30 for 30 documentary is now going to be released on April the 13th. I find it ironic they're going to wait until after the season ends to show this. Why don't they show it during the tournament? Why don't they show it the night of Selection Sunday after they talk about the brackets for like 6 hours, which is where they've been premiering college basketball documentaries the last couple years, like the Christian Leitner one a couple years ago. But maybe Calipari knows if he waits until after the season, he might be able to pick up another recruit or two by showing that documentary in April instead of showing it in March. Once again, Cal one step ahead of the game, thinking about tomorrow instead of today.
What it is you're too, no, I started to say you're two-faced, but if you were, you wouldn't be wearing that one.
Cincinnati basketball coach Mick Cronin has some very interesting things to say about the NCAA tournament on Friday, saying that the tournament is about money and that the seeds in the NCAA basketball tournament are manipulated to get more ticket sales to the early round games. And sometimes Cronin says that teams are moved up and down on seed lines just to create matchups and improve ticket sales. First of all, I can't believe a current head coach came out and said that. But what he said about that the NCAA committee moves teams around just to get more interest and get more ticket sales, he's absolutely 100% correct. Have you looked at the seats in the arenas of these first and second round games? I'm sorry, there's nobody there. But even after he made these comments, he reiterated them when he was asked about them again. Cronin said, "Let's not kid ourselves. It's a business, period, and everybody knows it. I wasn't complaining, but to think this doesn't happen is naive." Finally, somebody comes out and tells it like it is. Mad props to Mick Cronin of Cincinnati, because he's 1,000% right on this one. Do you honestly think that they make these seeds 1 through 68 and they just fill these teams in based on the pecking order that they come up with? Or do you think it's a smoke-filled room and there's agendas to be pushed on the table and they're looking to screw certain teams and make better matchups for the second round games based on rivalries, based on past hatreds maybe between fan bases or coaches or something? You don't think that happens? Just like Mick Cronin said, if you don't believe that, you're very naive. And of course, the NCAA committee strikes back saying, "Oh no, of course. Coach Cronin's assertion that this is a fact is not true. Sometimes we have to separate conference opponents, but it's not for ticket sales." Of course it's not. This entire NCAA tournament selection process is all subjective. It's not objective. What's the number one criteria that this committee uses? We don't know. You don't know what I don't know. Nobody knows. Because for some teams, sometimes they say it's strength of schedule. Sometimes they say it's one loss record. Sometimes it's one loss versus top 50. Some teams get to use RPI. It's all about who you are in life. So Mick Cronin is getting a lot of bad publicity today because he sounds like a whiner and a crier talking about how teams are moved around just to promote ticket sales. But he's 1,000% right. And if you don't believe that, I've got some swampland in Nebraska I'd like to sell you.
Bill Dundee is the kind of guy that thinks potted meat on a saltine is an hors d'oeuvre.
Speaking of the NCAA tournament, championship week, or as ESPN now calls it, it's just champ week now. I guess we're too busy to say the word championship, but now we just have to say champ because it's abbreviated. We need an emoji or something. Some conference tournaments already underway. This weekend, the Missouri Valley will crown their conference tournament champion, basically making it either 12 or 13 days before their conference champion plays the first round of the NCAA tournament. Obviously, the Missouri Valley is Wichita State and everybody else, as it's been for the last few years. And don't sleep on Wichita State this year. Look at those Ken Pomeroy ratings. Wichita State, as of Friday, the number 10 team in the country. ESPN BPI, number 16. Don't sleep on this Wichita State team like we've done for seemingly every year that they've been really good. Oh, and it's time for the OVC Conference Tournament. Doesn't Murray State play in the OVC Championship game every year? No matter if they win it or if somebody else wins it, Murray is always in the championship game. It just seems that way. Maybe I'm wrong. I need to look that one up. But anyway, these little small conferences get their time in the sun this weekend. Other college basketball games between ranked teams. Number 19, Notre Dame, travels down to number 8, Louisville. The Cardinals should get their revenge in that game. Number 25, Miami, travels to number 15, Florida State. Don't be shocked if Miami plays close and or wins that game straight up. Here's one that really piques my interest. Number 1, Kansas, goes to unranked Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State hasn't been good for a few years, have they? Well, they still take care of Kansas. Each of the last 3 years, Oklahoma has defeated Kansas in Stillwater. And if you look at this line for this game right now, it's a pick 'em. I'll stay away from this as an upset special, but do not be shocked at all if Oklahoma State pulls this game out, especially against a team like Kansas, who, although they're ranked number 1 in the nation, their record in Las Vegas against the point spread is 10 up and 17 down. That's one of the worst in the nation. So you talk about living up to expectations. Kansas is playing about as expected, because against the spread, they're playing lousy. And of course, the Duke-North Carolina game, in which we'll talk about in our Mac Daddy Stogie pick segment at the end of the show.
I mean, you know, I've heard some people say Dutch is not a bad guy once you get to know him, but who would want to get to know Dutch Mantell?
Our good friends at 538.com came up with the best college basketball rivalries since 1950. And of those rivalries, Kentucky is involved in 4 of the top 10. And if you want to get technical, 4 of the top 7. And they use a lot of factors to come up with what is a rivalry and what's not a rivalry, how good the two teams are every time they got together, number of meetings, number of times each team has won. The number one rivalry in their criteria is Kansas against Texas, which I don't really know how that's a rivalry if out of 33 times, Kansas has won 26 of them. The number two rivalry, shockingly enough, Arkansas against Kentucky. And a lot of people around here especially remember that big rivalry that these two teams had in the 90s when the Arkansas was really rolling and Kentucky was just getting started under Petito. Kentucky and Louisville is number 3, Duke, North Carolina, number 4, Indiana, Kentucky, number 5, and then Kentucky and North Carolina is number 7. But the reason why the Duke-North Carolina rivalry is still considered the best one is because you have 2 of the top teams in America and they play twice every single year since 1950. Whereas all these other rivalries, none of them have been played more than 40-something times because they're either not in the same conference or they spent several years not in the same conference not playing or what have you. So you say Kentucky and Louisville is a better rivalry than Duke and North Carolina. The numbers say it's true, but they've only met 40 times since 1951, whereas Duke and North Carolina have played 174 times. So you can't really call Kentucky and Louisville the same rivalry because they've only been playing once a year since the 80s. But like we said, we'll talk more about this game later in the show.
Here's a guy who's got no curtains in his house, but curtains in his pickup truck.
We sit now basically 1 week before the NCAA brackets are announced next weekend. And who is the favorite out in Las Vegas to win this tournament? There are all kinds of different favorites right now. If you go to the MGM, UCLA is the favorite. If you go to the South Point Casino, Gonzaga is a favorite. If you go to Caesars Palace, Kansas is a favorite. If you go to a little sports book called the Stratosphere, Kentucky's the favorite. It seems like everybody, depending on where you shop out in Las Vegas, everybody's a favorite somewhere. The good people at William Hill, probably the largest conglomerate sports book out in Las Vegas, has UCLA the favorite at 6-1. Duke and North Carolina next at 7-1. Kansas and Gonzaga at 15-2. That's 7.5-1 to people like Jerry Tipton who can't add. Check his Twitter account. You'll see what I'm talking about. Then Kentucky is 6th at 9-1. Villanova 10-1. And then Louisville at 12-1. But there are some teams that are getting money, like Kentucky is. Duke is getting money. And then there are some teams that are not getting any money. One of the higher-ups at the William Hill Casino says that Villanova has as much action on them to win the championship as Purdue does and San Diego State does. So Villanova, not exactly impressing the masses, if you know what I mean. So in other words, if you're filling out a bracket in a couple of weeks, here's my suggestion. Fill out more than one. And every one you fill out, have a completely different combination in the championship game. Because something tells me this might be the year that we have a winner that nobody saw coming.
I could not warm up to Mantell if we were cremated together. He gets on my skin. I don't like Dutch Mantell.
On Friday, Art Briles denies yet again that he had anything to do with the cover-up at Baylor. Really? Didn't they reveal text messages in which they proved that he was covering things up? Unbelievable. And then the women's basketball coach, who apparently said some horrible things earlier this week, actually admitted this week that some awful things had been happening at Baylor. If you're Art Briles, just shut up. It doesn't matter what you say at this point. Even if you have documentation and everything under the sun proving that you didn't do anything, you're still going to be considered guilty and you're still not going to get another job. Dude, it's over. Go get you a job at Dick's Sporting Goods or whatever. Because it's ball game. It's time to start flipping burgers at McDonald's if you need the money. NBA! Apparently, there was an attempt to overthrow the Lakers today as Jeannie Buss, who is now running the Lakers, her brothers are attempting to overthrow Jeannie Buss, and she had to put out a restraining order against them. How does all this work? Did they just like storm the building with torches and pitchforks or something? This is unbelievable. No wonder she went out and got Magic. So now she could have the public on her side even more. This is crazy how the Lakers have ended up now. Once considered the gold standard of organizations in all of professional sports, now they're a joke. Karl Anthony Towns Sr., the father of Karl Anthony Towns, is now suing his son's team, the Minnesota Timberwolves, because the mascot injured him and now he has to have knee surgery. Really? If you're the Timberwolves, you can't pay for the knee surgery that you were responsible for and now they're suing you for it? This is your franchise player and you can't take care of that? It just reiterates why teams like the Timberwolves are the Timberwolves. Do you think a real stand-up organization would do that? Of course not. They would take care of their star player's father's injury that occurred because of the team mascot. That's just dumb. More fallout from the Kevin Durant injury. Charles Barkley says that Golden State not only won't win the championship now, but they won't make it out of the West. And in fact, the wise guys out in Vegas now have San Antonio as the best team in the league currently. I don't know about that. But Golden State now isn't nearly what they were last year. Sure, last year they had Curry, Draymond Green, and Klay Thompson, but they had other guys too. This year, those other guys that helped them, a lot of those guys are gone. So does this finally open the door for San Antonio to get back into the mix? We'll see. Today is the anniversary of Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game. By the way, have you ever seen highlights of Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game? No, you have not. You haven't. I haven't. Nobody has. You know why? Because there are no highlights. Do you know what the only proof that any of us have that Wilt Chamberlain got 100 points in a game? After the game, he held up a piece of paper that says 100 on it. Really? That's the only documentation you have? I haven't seen any highlights. I didn't see any of his dunks or his granny shot free throws. Still waiting on that. And we're supposed to believe you on this one? Okay. Then again, this guy did average 50 points a game in a season. Allegedly. Derrick Rose of the Knicks obviously wants out of town badly. Now he's so against the new offense that the Knicks are trying to run, this old school triangle that Phil Jackson had with the Bulls and the Lakers. Derrick Rose now is threatening. He's just going to jack up a bunch of threes if they get close to making the playoffs out of spite for the team's triangle offense. There's a guy you want as your franchise player. That was money well spent to go out and get Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah. I think Phil Jackson's trying to get fired. I really do. He just wants to get his money and go home. He's got two more years and $24 million left on that contract. He wouldn't mind at all if he got fired and got that paycheck and went home. NFL, the draft combine going on this week. Here's what we learned. Stanford running back Christian McCaffrey Can't bench press, but he can jump. Leonard Fournette, the running back from LSU. He's fat, and he can't jump, but he's really fast because he had water weight. Those, ladies and gentlemen, are examples of the hysterical ignorance that goes on at the NBA Draft Combine. If you like a guy, you can make it sound like he did great. And if you don't like a guy, you can make it sound like he's a bum. It just depends on your agenda. Like everything else in life. Trade rumor on Friday. Tony Romo to Washington. Kirk Cousins to San Francisco. Dallas gets a bunch of draft picks. Wow, you talk about flipping the script if that happens. Can you honestly see the Dallas Cowboys sending Tony Romo, their franchise quarterback for a decade, to an interdivision rival that they'll have to play twice a year? No, I can't see that either. Unless they know that Tony Romo is washed up and can't play and can't stay healthy. Then, of course, it's given to Washington. Mitch Trubisky is allegedly going to be the first quarterback taken in the NFL draft. But now he's so cool, he no longer wants to be called Mitch Trubisky. It's Mitchell Trubisky. Thanks so much. Le'Veon Bell of Pittsburgh said that if he was healthy, the Steelers would have defeated the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. Oh, by the way, the Patriots won that game 36-17, and the Steelers didn't score a touchdown until the fourth quarter. Unless you're Bo Jackson on Tecmo Bowl, Le'Veon Bell, you can't make up that many points. Free agent quarterback Colin Kaepernick now says he's going to stand up during the national anthem this coming season. Huh. Making $15-plus million last year? You can kneel on the sidelines during the anthem all you want. Now that you're trying to get a job somewhere else? Oh, I'm going to stand now. I'm a good team player. It's amazing what money does, huh? Got to put your best foot forward now. I'm going to stand for the anthem. No more of that crazy stuff I was doing when I was making $15 million a year.
Stay tuned for all the excitement of the world champion Cincinnati Reds. Reds Radio is produced solely by the broadcast department of the Cincinnati Reds Incorporated.
Major League Baseball spring training fever. Catch it. Doesn't last very long at all. The Reds whining about Joey Votto not being a leader in the clubhouse or on the field. Okay, I don't care if he is a leader. This is baseball. And last time I checked, there's only 11 players in the history of Major League Baseball that have got on base at a better rate than Joey Votto. How much of a leader do you have to be? Bryce Harper of the Nationals says that he wants to win a World Series title for the fans of Montreal, where the Nationals were before they moved there over a decade ago. There's a great way to make fans with your hometown. Put them in the back seat after the Montreal bleeping Expos. There's a reason why they left Montreal in the first place. Red Sox David Price, who was fearful of having Tommy John surgery, now only needs 7 to 10 days of rest. Yeah, okay. If you're playing fantasy baseball like I am, seemingly every year, you'll know that 2 years ago, David Price had an ERA of 2.45, and last year, he had an ERA of 3.99. That's over a run and a half difference. You don't think there's something wrong with him? I sure do. I wouldn't touch him in a fantasy league because he's going to go way too early because of name recognition. Ryan Sheriff is a wannabe pitcher for the Cardinals. He's 26 years old. He's left-handed pitcher, and he's never been in the big leagues. But longtime Cardinals pitcher Adam Wainwright noticed that Sheriff was walking everywhere he went. And then he found out that Sheriff didn't have a car at spring training, and that's why he was walking. So Adam Wainwright rents a car for this kid for the duration of spring training so he'll be able to drive around. Here's my question, though, Mr. Wainwright, and that was a very kind gesture because I don't see anybody else on the Cardinals doing that. But here's my thing. Adam Wainwright has made over $95 million as a Major League Baseball player. Ryan Sheriff has never played one day in the Major Leagues. That's all you could do for the brother? Rent him a car for the next 3 or 4 weeks? Maybe you couldn't buy him a used car, maybe for a grand or two? What happens when spring training's over? He's got to return that car. Now what's he got? He doesn't have anything. And you've got $95 million. His heart was in the right place. But sometimes it might be better to do nothing. Because what happens when Adam Wainwright goes north with the Cardinals for the regular season and Ryan Sheriff is on a minor league roster and he doesn't have a car anymore after being spoiled for the previous month? Oh well, don't worry about tomorrow. Just worry about today. Matthew 6:34 says, don't worry about tomorrow. Today's got enough to worry about itself. If you were watching TV back in the mid to late 70s and early 80s, and even if you watch ESPN Classic now, you'll remember a show called The Battle of the Network Stars, in which the stars of the three networks, there were only three channels back then, ABC, CBS, and NBC, the stars, using that term very loosely, from these networks got together and had some kind of Olympic competition in which they ran races and went swimming and had a tug of war and all this fun stuff. But they're reviving this show and they're bringing it back. Now, if they could only bring Howard Cosell back to do the play-by-play announcing, which was one of the greatest things ever, may he rest in peace. But there's two things that I remember from watching these Battle of the Network Stars competition. One, Linda Carter was absolutely gorgeous. And that was during her Wonder Woman days. And you couldn't find a better looking woman in the history of the earth than Linda Carter back then. I digress. But the best one is Gabe Kaplan. Yes, the teacher from Welcome Back, Kotter himself. Going up against Robert Conrad in a race, a match race, where Robert Conrad said that the ABC team cheated and then they had to have a runoff. And all of this is on YouTube right now. You can go look up Battle of the Network Stars, Gabe Kaplan, Robert Conrad. It's as funny and as awesome as anything you'll ever see on television, I promise you. You get a couple minutes at work, you're just hanging out doing nothing, YouTube that, Battle of the Network Stars, Gabe Kaplan and Robert Conrad, I promise you, you won't be disappointed. It's five of the best minutes of television you'll see in a long time. So if they can bring this show back and make it half as good as that, I'm all in.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash, cold, that's what I need.
And now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, smooth, Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver, yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, it's Mac Daddy Stogie pick time for the big weekend of college basketball. We went 1-1. On our last show with that heartbreaking loss of taking Michigan over Northwestern and then having Northwestern complete a Hail Mary to defeat Michigan in the final seconds. But hey, we live to fight another day. Our underdogs against the spread now, 30-16 on the year. That's 65.2%. And we'll take that every year and we'll own some casinos out in Vegas if we knew we could hit 65% every year. And don't forget our upset specials, 24-12. That's 66.7%. But for Saturday college basketball, we have four, count them, four underdogs against the spread. We will start with the big one in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Number 17, Duke, faces number 5, North Carolina. Duke, a 6.5-point favorite. And why wouldn't they be? North Carolina, the ACC champions, 25-6 overall, 13-4 in the ACC. North Carolina, they're just a better team, right? Even against the spread this year, North Carolina 16 up, 13 down. Duke, on the other hand, one of the biggest underachieving teams in the country. 11-18 against the spread. The preseason number one team, 23-7, 11-6 in the ACC. When these two teams played on February the 9th, Duke won that game in Durham by 8 points. But this is a tale of two teams right now. North Carolina, they've won 4 of their last 5 against the spread. And in their last 27 home games, they've covered 20 of those 27 games. But poor little Duke. Coach K injured. Grayson Allen, not himself. Those freshmen just haven't been living up to expectations. In the last 13 games Duke has played, they're 3-10 against the spread, including losing every one of their last 4 games against the spread. Janet Jackson said it. What have you done for me lately? When we're taking teams against the spread, we like to take teams that haven't done anything for us lately. And Duke is one of those teams. And you're going to give us 6.5 against North Carolina? We're on it. Give us Duke getting 6.5 against North Carolina. Your first underdog against the spread. We'll stay in the ACC for pick number 2. Wake Forest, 17-12, 8-9 in the ACC against Virginia Tech. Seemingly in the tournament already, 21-8, 10-7 in the ACC. Virginia Tech at home, only a 2-point favorite in this game. Why? Wake Forest is simply the better team. And Ken Pomeroy, Wake Forest, ranked number 31. Virginia Tech, number 40. And you go in, and all the other sabermetrics say that Wake Forest is the slightly better team than Virginia Tech. And you wouldn't think that with all the home wins that Virginia Tech has this year over teams you didn't think they could beat, like Duke and like Virginia. When these two teams played at Virginia Tech last year, Virginia Tech won that game by 2 points, and now this year they're favored by 2 again. But here is another Janet Jackson special. What have you done for me lately? Virginia Tech has covered their last 7 games against the spread. And as everybody knows who knows this show, anytime a team has hit 3 or more against the spread, we are going against them as soon as possible. This is our opportunity. And not only that, we think we're getting the better team. Give us Wake Forest getting 2 at Virginia Tech. Pick number 2. Pick number 3, we go to the Big 12. TCU, 17-13 overall, 6-11 in the Big 12. Against Oklahoma, 10-19 overall. And a last place, 4-13 in the Big 12. What happened to Oklahoma, a Final Four team last year? I know they lost Buddy Hield, but God, he didn't mean that much to the team, did he? Oklahoma, a 3.5-point favorite this game. And it's another Janet Jackson special. What have you done for me lately? Oklahoma has covered their last 5 games against the spread, while TCU has lost 6 of their last 7 against the spread. Makes it a lot easier to follow, huh? On January 3rd, these two teams played. TCU won by 3 points. But the numbers say we're getting the better team in TCU here. Ken Pomeroy has TCU 43, Oklahoma 63. And you're going to give me 3.5 points against the last place team in the Big 12? We'll take it. Give us TCU getting 3.5 against Oklahoma. That's pick number 3. And our 4th and final underdog against the spread for college basketball on Saturday. Illinois travels to Rutgers. Illinois 18-12 on the year. 8-9 in the Big 10, hoping to finish the season at 500 in the conference, which would be a major victory if you look at how this team started. Rutgers, meanwhile, poor little Rutgers, 13-17 overall, 2-15 in the Big Ten. And in fact, in their last 61 games in the Big Ten, they've covered 19 of those 61. They're 19-42 against the spread of the Big Ten. That's terrible. We were on Illinois last week when they beat Northwestern. We were on Illinois Wednesday night when they beat Michigan State. And we're not on Illinois when they go to Rutgers. Go figure. Illinois, a 3.5-point favorite in this game. They've also covered 4 games in a row. Another Janet Jackson special. Poor little Rutgers, 2-15 in the Big Ten. They might make it 3-15. And if they don't, they'll keep this one really close. We'll take Rutgers getting 3.5 against Illinois. Your 4th and final underdog against the spread for Saturday college basketball. So there you have it. Duke getting 6.5 against North Carolina. Wake Forest getting 2 against Virginia Tech. TCU getting 3.5 against Oklahoma. And Rutgers getting 3.5 against Illinois. And you can take those bad boys to the desert and smoke them.
I'm going to see my lawyer.
Why?
Going to find out if you can sue a show for breach of taste.
And that does it for the Friday, March 3rd edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Email us anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. And make sure to like us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.